welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is an overview of WebSphere MQ telemetry and how to utilize MQTT for practical solutions. Today's presenter is Valerie Lampkin. Valerie Lampkin has been with IBM for 13 years supporting WebSphere MQ. During that time, she has supported external customers such as AT&T and State Farm. She now works with the L2 support team. In this capacity, she is responsible for assisting customers with problem resolution for all aspects of WebSphere MQ software. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Valerie. Valerie, you may begin.
Hi, thank you. Okay, so today we're going to discuss a little bit about MQTT protocol and how the WebSphere MQ telemetry can help you with practical solutions. Let's go ahead and get started to slide number two. First of all, what is MQTT and how does it play into building a smarter planet? This is going to be on our agenda. First, let me explain early on that MQTT is not a proprietary part of WebSphere MQ. MQTT is open source protocol. We will be discussing today how the IBM's WebSphere MQ telemetry feature allows you to connect remote clients using the MQTT protocol in your architecture. So that's part of the agenda, how to use MQ telemetry. We're going to go over some typical topologies, such as machine-to-machine, some examples of current usage, and what advantages does WebSphere MQ telemetry provide as far as scalability, what you can do with key managers, and some other features with WebSphere MQ, such as the MQTT daemons and bridges. We'll also discuss integration with other WebSphere products, and finally, we'll cover some administration and troubleshooting. Let's go to the next slide, slide three. So what is MQTT? That is MQ Telemetry Transport. It's a simple publish-subscribe lightweight messaging protocol. It's open source and royalty-free, which allows easy adaptation for a wide variety of devices. It's ideal for constrained environments where network bandwidth is low and when remote devices may have limited processing capabilities. This design allows thousands of remote clients to be interconnected in what's often called the Internet of Things. We often have challenges in getting information from devices to people and applications that wish to use it. MQTT has the ability to help gather this and also to allow us to reply to the devices with new instructions or requests. The MQTT protocol makes it possible to send and receive information reliably over the Internet, even if the network is unsteady or the monitoring device has little processing power. The MQTT messaging protocol is so lightweight that it can be supported by some of the smallest devices, yet it's robust enough to ensure that important messages get to their destinations. Let's go to the next slide, slide number four. To discuss the smarter planet, the proliferation of intelligent devices is changing the way that people interact. Smarter Planet is IBM's vision of a technology-enabled world that basically the Smarter Planet is built on a set of pillars called the Three I's. In this vision, the Smarter Planet is instrumented, meaning information is captured wherever it exists, such as through the use of remote sensors. It's interconnected, and information is moved from the collection point to wherever it can be usefully consumed. And it's intelligent. The information is processed, analyzed, and acted upon to derive maximum value and knowledge. The collection of data from remote sensor devices to a centralized processing system can help provide real-time analysis and response. The next slide, slide five. With the rapid expansion of sensors, monitors, and other forms of remote instrumentation, the need to integrate these devices into an enterprise and web-based system becomes more important. So what has come about is the Eclipse PAHO project. In November of 2011, IBM and Eurotech announced they were joining Sierra Wireless and the Eclipse Foundation to provide open source tools and protocols. This is what has been called the Eclipse PAHO project and is to simplify the development of machine-to-machine solutions. The project is aimed at developing open source, scalable, standard messaging protocols. The typical integration approach has been to combine industry standard communication models with whatever private or non-standard messaging protocols might exist on the devices that are already in the enterprise. However, those integrations often were based on point-to-point standard that required quite tight coupling between the sending devices or the applications on the receiving ones. So we had additional challenges in implementing solutions for constrained devices with minimal storage and calculating capabilities that might be on an unstable or low-performing data network. What the goal of this project was to help provide open source messaging that can exchange data and events between devices in the physical world and the virtual world. It supports open messaging models that are increasing prevalent, but also it caters to the special needs of constrained devices and networks. The Eclipse Pajo project focuses on the framework, best practice samples, and plug-in tools that allow developers to integrate and test the end-to-end connectivity of messaging components. IBM has contributed Java and C client code implementations of the MQTT protocol, while Eurotech is contributing the framework implementation and sample applications for developers to use when integrating and testing Pajo messaging components. Let's go to the next slide, slide 6. This is just a brief overview and comparison of how the MQTT protocol compares to HTTP. Both HTTP and MQTT are based on TCP/IP. However, the HTTP uses a request response, which is a one-to-one, whereas the MQTT uses pub-sub pattern. This may be one-to-one, one-to-many, or in some cases one-to-none if there are no subscribers for a particular topic. HTTP is document-centric, while MQTT is data-centric. HTTP is more complex than MQTT, which is a simple protocol and has a shorter message size. The MQTT message size only has a 2-byte header, while HTTP uses a text format and not a binary one, which can allow for lengthy headers and messages. MQTT offers 3 qualities of service. With HTTP, all messages get the same level of service. HTTP has no retryability or quality of service features, so if developers need guaranteed message delivery, they have to implement those themselves. Let's go to the next slide, slide 7. Some features of the MQTT protocol. As I said before, it's a pub-sub messaging model that facilitates one-to-many distribution. The sending applications or devices don't need to know anything about the receiver, not even its address. This makes it ideal for constrained networks that have low bandwidth, high latency, data limits, or fragile connections. The MQTT message headers are kept as small as possible, as I said, with a fixed header of just 2 bytes. Its on-demand push-down message distribution keeps the network utilization low. Multiple service levels allow flexibility in handling different types of messages. Developers can designate that messages will be delivered at most once, at least once, or exactly once. It's designed specifically for remote devices with little memory or processing power, minimal headers, a small client footprint, and limited reliance on libraries makes MQTT ideal for constrained devices. It's easy to use and implement with a simple set of command messages. Many applications of MQTT can be accomplished just using connect, publish, subscribe, and disconnect. It has built-in support for loss of contact between client and server. The server is informed when a client connection breaks abnormally, allowing the message to be resent or preserved for later delivery. The next slide is slide 8. When most people think of the Internet, they think of individuals using a web browser. Yet, as our technology evolves, it's increasingly common for devices to be connected to each other. This has created a need for efficient machine-to-machine communication protocol. Sometimes this uses the acronym M2M for machine-to-machine. The MQTT protocol is ideal for this machine-to-machine communication. It enables connectivity that extends beyond smart devices to some of the smallest remote devices and sensors, such as RFID or SCADA in the past, including ones with limited processing or network abilities. There's also MQTT-S, which is MQTT for sensors. This protocol enables the inclusion of machines that typically would not even be able to use the MQTT protocol due to lack of a TCP/IP network ability. The MQTTS extends the MQTT protocol to low-cost, battery-operated sensor and actuator devices existing on non-TCP/IP network. It can function on any network that allows bidirectional data transfer. MQTTS is ideal for wireless sensor networks of spatially distributed sensors. Okay, next slide is slide 9. We're going to discuss a little bit about sensors versus actuators. Sensors measure particular parameters and report it in terms that are understandable to humans or other devices or systems. A really basic example might be a thermometer that senses the heat and reports it with a rise or falling column of mercury. Modern sensors can report their status in much more advanced ways, such as on digital screens or with the help of the MQTT protocol to transmit the information over a data network. Multiple sensors can be positioned to report on several parameters, providing a complete view of the current operating conditions of the device or system. Consider a system for moving pressurized gas at a chemical factory. The supervisor would need to know the operating status of the compressors, the rates of flow at inlet and outlet, the temperature of the gas, and the pressure of gas inside the system. So it's critical that all these factors be measured by properly calibrated sensors that are placed in the correct locations and are capable of reporting their status reliably in real time. Whereas a sensor reports the status of a particular parameter of a system, an actuator can act to influence that parameter or other parts of the system. An oversimplified analogy is that of the file input-output operations. The work of a sensor can be seen as similar to that of a file reading operation, and the work of an actuator can be seen similar to a file writing operation. The actuators are special types of devices which take an action based on the system behavior. For example, as we said, a flow valve attached to a pipeline could alter the rate of the flow based on certain parameters that are sensed. Actuators might also be set to track a set of parameters and then trigger an alarm if a certain threshold is reached. So back to our previous analogy of in a pipeline, that the sensors are spread throughout, giving flows, but they could, actuators could also actually make changes to the flow based on the commands sent back to them. Let's go to the next slide, slide 10. Okay, so we're into discuss some examples of MQTT practical solutions. One example was ferries that send tweets to let riders know when the ships are leaving or arriving. This lets customers who need to board the ferry know if the ferry is going to be late, or they can prepare for when it's arriving and know the actual time they need to be at the dock. Sensors can also check motor speeds throughout construction zones, and this can be done, for example, when they're doing they need the cars to go at a slower speed. It can check the speed, the sensor of a particular car all along the route, not just at one point, and then send that data back together to be analyzed so that if someone were speeding in the zone, they might be able to do something like send a ticket to them based on an alert they get. And then another example is a shipping company gained. This is one that people are very familiar with. The shipping company may gain some customer loyalty by providing up-to-the-moment detailed tracking information. I know whenever I order a package, I like to know when it's arriving, especially if it's something I don't want sitting out in the rain, or I know that if I'm expecting something, I can check to see if it's late or what time it will be coming in. We've already discussed the pipeline monitoring, flow, and controlling pressure by opening and closing valves. And it can also open the route gas to various customer depots. And one other example that most people may be familiar with is something like Facebook Messenger, which utilized MQTT to decrease the latency. Originally, Facebook Messenger was experiencing some latency problems sending messages, so the method they were using to send the messages was reliable, but it was slow. So solutions would be limited if they continued to use the same technology. They needed a new mechanism that would maintain a persistent connection to the messaging servers without consuming too much battery power. The solution that Facebook used MQTT protocol to solve the problem by maintaining an MQTT connection and routing messages through the chat pipeline, they are able to achieve message delivery at speeds of just a few hundred milliseconds. Okay, the next slide is slide 11. This is another example where MQTT has been used, and it's called the House of Twitters. This was actually implemented by IBM master inventor Andy Stanford Clark, and he works with MQTT. He has embedded sensors throughout his home to monitor all types of appliances, such as water meters, even to botanical sensors that monitor when plants need watering. The house was set up to tweet alerts through anyone who wanted, well, I wouldn't say anyone, they had to be approved, but you could sign up to monitor, be a follower on Twitter, and you would see the different devices and their alerts throughout the house. And that was just a Twitter account called Andy House that allowed people to see how MQTT could be set up. The next slide, slide 12. I'd like to just go over a few other examples of MQTT implementation. For energy, smart energy meters are beginning to be deployed widely. Smart meters collect more detail about energy consumption than traditional meters. They're often coupled with a local telemetry network to monitor and control individual appliances in a home. MQTT messages containing energy usage data can be sent to the provider. Webster MQ Telemetry sends control commands based on analysis of energy usage data, and the remote connection can be set by an individual, a power utility, or by a central control point. The remote control point can read power usage and provide usage data. It can provide data to influence usage such as continuous pricing and weather information. It can limit the load to improve overall power generation efficiency. A healthcare example might be Webster MQ Telemetry sending health data to your hospital or doctor. MQTT message alerts or feedback can be sent based on the analysis of health data. A cardiac patient can have an implanted cardioverter defibrillator that communicates with the hospital. Data about the patient and the implanted device are transferred using telemetry to the MQTT device in the home of the patient. And then that transfer goes to a transmitter located at the bedside. The transmitter transfers the data securely over the phone system to the hospital where the data is analyzed. The system reduces the number of visits a patient must make to the physician, and it detects when the patient or device needs attention. In the event of an emergency, it alerts the on-call doctor. MQTT may also be used for doctors to see other real-time health status information such as blood pressure, etc. From a banking standpoint, smart banking can be utilized by a bank card transaction that's sent to the bank server, which may have a fraud detection application in place to identify suspicious activity. Webster MQ Telemetry identifies the one person from the thousands and alerts the customer that their card has been used. This message can be a two-way transaction, which allows the customer to accept or reject the transaction. Next slide, slide 13. I'd like to cover some of the concepts of MQTT. As far as publish-subscribe, the MQTT protocol is based on the principle of publishing messages and subscribing to topics. This is typically referred to as a pub-sub model. Clients can subscribe to the topics that pertain to them and thereby receive whatever messages are published to those topics. Or clients can publish messages to topics, thus making them available to all the subscribers of those topics. Topics and subscriptions, messages in MQTT are published to topics, which can be thought of as subject areas. Clients, in turn, sign up to receive particular messages by subscribing to a topic. Subscriptions can be explicit, which limits the messages to receive the specific topic at hand, or use wildcard designators to receive messages across a variety of related topics. Retained messages with MQTT, the server keeps the message even after sending it to all the current subscribers. This way, if a new subscription is submitted for the same topic, any retained messages are then sent to the new subscribing client. Next slide, slide 14. Some more concepts of MQTT are clean sessions and durable connections. when an MQTT client connects to the server, it sets the clean session flag. If the flag is set to true, then all the client subscriptions are removed when it disconnects from the server. If the flag is set to false, then the connection is treated as durable, and the client subscriptions remain in effect after any disconnection. In this event, subsequent messages that arrive carrying a high quality of service designation are stored for delivery once the connection is reestablished. Also notice that this is an optional behavior and that messages may get lost. Even with a quality of service equal to, messages may get lost because all of the server state is purged on reconnect. Wills, when a client connects to a server, it can inform the server that it has a will or a message that should be published to a specific topic or topics in the event of an unexpected disconnection. This is particularly useful in alarm or security settings where system managers must know immediately when a remote sensor has lost contact with the network. And then qualities of service. MQTT defines three qualities of service levels for message delivery. We have more details I'm going to go into on the next slide, slide number 15. The three qualities of service for message delivery are QoS equals zero. This is at most once. Messages are delivered according to the best efforts of the TCP/IP network. Message loss or duplication can occur, and a response is not expected, and no retry is defined in the protocol. The next level is quality of service equals one, at least once, where messages are assured to arrive, but duplicates may occur. Quality of service equals two means exactly once, where messages are assured to arrive exactly once. Please note that there are performance impacts in terms of network traffic and processing power for the greater the quality of service. The designators can designate the messages and the quality of service in their applications. Next slide, slide 16. Okay, so we've discussed the MQTT protocol, which is open source, and now let's discuss specifically how IBM's WebSphere MQ telemetry feature works with that protocol and how it can benefit your MQTT client network by providing scalability and reliability. MQ telemetry was added as an installable feature of IBM WebSphere MQ version 7.01 before it was fully integrated in what is now WebSphere MQ version 7.1. IBM's WebSphere MQ telemetry is a feature of WebSphere MQ that extends the universal messaging backbone with the MQTT protocol to include a wide range of remote sensors, actuators, and telemetry devices. It enables instrumented devices virtually anywhere in the world to connect to each other and to enterprise applications, web services, and decision makers with WebSphere MQ. The use of MQTT not only extends MQ to remote devices, it enables massive scalability. A WebSphere MQ server can handle up to 100,000 concurrent MQTT connections. Next slide, slide 17. The core pieces of the WebSphere MQ telemetry service are the following. The MQTT telemetry service that runs on the WebSphere MQ server, MQ telemetry clients that are distributed to remote devices and applications, and MQ telemetry uses the MQTT protocol to send and receive messages between devices or applications and the WebSphere MQ key manager. From the WebSphere MQ Key Manager, the messages can be exchanged with other messaging applications such as similar telemetry applications, MQI applications, JMS, or enterprise messaging applications. Next slide, slide 18. So why include WebSphere MQ in your topology? WebSphere MQ provides secure messaging features which can be scaled to include thousands of clients and interface with other technology within the enterprise, such as message broker and WebSphere application server, to name just a few. WebSphere MQ telemetry transport is an included component of WebSphere MQ version 7.1, and this integration of WebSphere MQ with MQTT protocol allows tiny remote devices to leverage the reliability and security provided by MQ. Basic MQTT is a pub-sub architecture, while MQ can provide either pub-sub or point-to-point message delivery. Messages received from the MQTT clients can be forwarded to message queues, which are then available for application processing. By incorporating this functionality of Webster MQ, messages which were originally transmitted from MQTT clients are then converted to MQ messages. A benefit of Webster MQ is assured delivery, which verifies messages are delivered once and only once, regardless of network errors. The choice of a PubSub or point-to-point architecture is an application design decision. For some solutions, routing messages to a queue is the best model, since this results in the message being consumed or processed just one time, even if the queue is accessed by multiple applications. Publishing messages to a topic, on the other hand, will result in the same message could be processed zero or multiple times, depending on the number of subscribers. Next slide, slide 19. Installation of Webster MQ telemetry. As I mentioned, Webster MQ telemetry has been available since version 7.01. It was an add-on feature then. Now with version 7.1 and also in the future version 7.5, which was announced to be available later this year, it's an integrated part of the install. It's a component of the main product. It no longer requires a separate plugin. Some support packs that you may be familiar with if you've used MQTT are the IA92 and IA93. This was an API implementation for the client side of the protocol to allow it to connect to the Webster brokers using telemetry transport. The IA92 Java utility provides a simple GUI allowing users to test publication and subscription with their broker. The IA93 Webster Broker support pack is no longer supported or developed, and we suggest that application developers use the Eclipse Pajo project tools instead. And I also provided here a link to the MQTT clients that were provided by IBM to the Eclipse Pajo project, which you can download for free. Next slide, slide 20. A lot of Webster MQ users are familiar with the Webster MQ Explorer, which is a GUI tool. This GUI interface can also be used for administration of MQ telemetry features, as shown here. Next slide, slide 21. The Webster MQ Telemetry Daemon for Devices is an advanced MQTT version 3 client that can act as a concentrator to connect telemetry channels to a queue manager. This makes it possible to minimize the number of concurrent channel connections on a Webster MQ queue manager. The daemon can also be used to store and forward messages from other MQTT clients. It connects to Webster MQ like an MQTT client, but can also have other MQTT clients connected to it. You can even connect it to other telemetry daemons to create a complex network of remote devices. The Webster MQ telemetry daemon for devices has these primary functions. It connects MQTT clients together in a PubSub messaging network. It manages which subscriptions and messages are published to the queue manager or to the device. It combines multiple MQTT clients to a single TCP/IP telemetry channel. It stores messages from devices and forwards them to the queue manager. Next slide, slide 22. Another feature of Webster MQ is the Webster MQ telemetry daemon for devices. There are some advantages for using bridges. Fewer MQTT client connections to the queue manager. Messages can be stored and forwarded between the MQTT clients and Webster MQ. Enables filtering of publications exchanged between MQTT clients and Webster MQ, and the topic spacing can be modified to prevent strings from clients attached to different listener ports colliding. Although the features of the Webster MQ telemetry service are called devices and bridges, in actuality they are configuration files that are read by the telemetry service, so it's not a separate device or bridge that you purchase, it's just a file that you configure. The Webster MQ telemetry daemon for devices supports one or more simultaneous connections to other brokers through the use of bridges, and the bridges are defined by setting bridge parameters within the daemon configuration file. The next slide, slide number 23. Webster MQ clustering features may be implemented to allow MQTT client subscribers and publishers to connect via different queue managers. If an administrative topic is created in a cluster with the attribute of the cluster set to the cluster name, any application in the cluster can publish to the client. The subscribers and publishers can be part of the same cluster, or they may be connected by a pub-sub hierarchy. And the publication is delivered from the publisher to the subscriber using WebSphereMQ. And that's basically what we've shown here in the graphic, is just that you could have a publisher and a subscriber that don't connect to the same key manager. They connect to different key managers, but because those key managers are within a cluster, then MQ will help distribute the messages from one to the other. Next slide, slide number 24. In this graphic, we're just showing an example of the integration between MQTT applications and WAAS-based applications. The data from a sensor sent as an MQTT message to a WMQ telemetry service on Key Manager, and then the WebSphere application server connects to the Key Manager using the WebSphereMQ JMS resource adapter. A message-driven bean running in WAAS will be able to pick up the messages. The message-driven bean will be invoked once the message is available on the topic. Next slide, slide number 25. I'd like to go over some performance considerations for WebSphereMQ telemetry. There's an extra load that is incurred when the clients say connection. So connections are something to consider. If a connection is kept open, the TCP/IP flows and MQTT clients use the network to check that the connection is still there. And additional memory is used in the server for each client connection that's kept open. If you are sending messages at a rate greater than one per minute, you probably want to keep your connection open to avoid the cost of initiating a new connection each time. However, if you're sending messages at an interval less than every 10 or 15 minutes, you may want to consider dropping your connection to avoid the cost of keeping it open. Also, another performance consideration is to maximize throughput. You can do this by using the appropriate quality of service designation. If your system has one client sending many messages, for example, you may not want to wait for the server to respond to every message. Instead, you send all the messages and check at the end to confirm they are received. The transmission of multiple messages without waiting for an individual confirmation can be accomplished by giving messages a specific quality of service levels ranging from 0 for unimportant messages to 2 for very important messages. The message throughput can be around twice as high with a quality of service equal to 0 than it would be with a quality of service set to 2. The length of the topic name also affects the number of bytes that flow across the network. So to limit throughput, an option is to limit the number of characters in the topic name. When an MQTT client subscribes to a topic, WebSphereMQ gives the subscription a name which combines the client ID and the topic name. Given that MQTT may be constantly polling, any additional bytes could add up to a cost on some networks. So given that you could only have a 2-byte header for MQTT message, adding a long client ID and topic name kind of defeats the purpose of keeping the messages small. And then finally, you can improve scalability by avoiding subscriptions. And this is something that you have to determine based on what your application is trying to do. For some cases, you may need to use the subscriptions. If you have an instance which is requiring distribution to many clients, for example, clients expecting to get a plane schedule update, et cetera, then you may need to use subscriptions. However, if it's possible to use a point-to-point for an individual client, such as an actuator, that would only receive a specific information pertaining to it to take an action, and the message would not be vastly distributed, a point-to-point solution might be desirable. And finally, for managing a large number of clients, you will need to configure the operating system to enable it to handle a large number of sockets. The telemetry service requires some additional file descriptors, this number must be larger than the number of open sockets required, and there are some settings that you would need to enable on your server to handle a large number of clients. This is all outlined in the Info Center, and I'm going to give you links to that later in the presentation. And let's go on to the next slide, slide number 26. Troubleshooting WebSphereMQ telemetry. The WebSphere MQ telemetry service writes informational and error messages to the WebSphere MQ Key Manager error log, and it also creates FFST error files, commonly referred to as FDC files, in the WebSphere MQ error directory. So I've listed here, this is, most people who are familiar with WebSphere MQ know where to look for the Key Manager logs and the FDCs. Additionally, the WebSphere MQ telemetry service also writes to a log which displays the properties invoked when the telemetry service started and any errors it found while acting as a proxy for WebSphere MQ. Those are being output to what is called the MQXR log, and not that we covered this before, but MQXR really means MQ Extended Reach, which was what MQ Telemetry Service was called originally, and that's why you'll see the MQXR used as a naming convention for many of the files and directories associated with the MQ Telemetry Service. And also, I've shown here the output for the MQXR standard out and standard error logs that you would want to investigate if you were doing troubleshooting. Okay, let's go on to the next slide, slide number 27. Let's talk about tracing the telemetry service. Traces can be useful for troubleshooting if you experience failures or unexpected results. There are different ways to enable MQ telemetry tracing. You can use the standard MQ, STR, MQ, TRC, and end MQ, TRC commands to start and stop a trace. When you do start a standard Key Manager trace, there's a brief delay of about 2 seconds before the telemetry service trace is actually started. You can also, another option is to start the trace, the telemetry service only without the full Key Manager trace. And you do this by using the Control MQXR channel script. Again, there you'll see that MQXR is the name given in the script. And I've shown here the standard syntax that you would use to start that type of tracing. In here, you'd set the Key Manager name. And if you're starting the trace, you use the mode start trace. And to stop, you run the same command again with the mode stop trace. An optional tracing parameter here is the client ID. If you set that to a specific client, then it only traces that client. If you needed to run it for several different client IDs, then you would need to run the trace command several times. Let's go to the next slide, slide number 28. And here I'm giving you some links so that you can learn more about MQTT. There is an upcoming Red Book that is currently being edited and should be published soon. I've gone ahead and given you the link here, although this link does not currently work because the publishing has not been completed. Also, the link for MQTT.org, which is for the open source MQTT protocol itself and has a wealth of information that you can check out there. And then also the link for the WebSphere MQ Info Center section for administering telemetry. Let's go to the next slide. Oh, I think it's the summary, which is slide number 29. So MQTT is a simple PubSub messaging protocol that allows for devices at the edge of the network to connect and participate in the Internet of Things. WebSphere MQ telemetry offers reliability and can provide robust scalability to help connect a broad network of MQTT clients. There are many practical uses for MQTT in the real world to help make our planet smarter and more efficient. I'd like to reiterate that MQTT protocol is open source, and IBM's WebSphere MQ telemetry feature facilitates incorporating these remote clients into your existing network or architecture. The next slide is slide number 30, and I think now I'll hand the back over to the moderator to continue.
Thank you, Valerie, for a great presentation. At this point, Jackie, we'd like to open the line for questions.
Our first question comes from Alan Mio. Your line is open.
Hey, thank you for the presentation. I just have a good question. So this MQTT can replace the, from kind of technical point, it can replace the HTTPS service. Is that correct?
The replacing HTTP?
From when we build up application service on the website, So what if we use MQTT service, we don't need to use that HTTP server anymore. Is that correct?
Well, I think it really depends. I'd have to have probably some more details about what you're trying to accomplish. It's an alternative type of protocol that you can use, but it really depends on what your application. It's not necessarily a replacement. I think it's really more a different type of protocol depending on what your application is trying to achieve. So if you want to send me that question offline, I'd be glad to do more research if you want to give me more details.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Heiko Karg. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. I have a question regarding application design with MQTT in case you need more like a request-reply model. So if an application on a device needs to request information from a server system, how would you implement this with MQTT? Are there any best practices like for the reply using a topic name containing a correlation ID or something?
Well, I don't think it's going to be set for correlation ID if you're doing it from MQTT. I think really it's just going to be have a specific topic for the client to pick it up from. So if you can reply that to a specific client based on the topic or the client ID, you can set MQ up to send directly to that. I think this might be another question that needs to have some more additional details, or I can answer you offline if you want to know specific about the application design, depending on what you're trying to achieve. But I don't think normally you would be using correlation ID because it's going to be published to a topic.
Okay, so best would be to choose a client ID for each device and then...
Right, each device would have its own client ID, and you can, if you're sending back a command to a specific client, then when you set that up, you're going to specify the client ID, and the way that the queue manager sees the client is more to... almost like a queue manager, is when you do a reply to queue manager, you put the queue manager name there. Well, in this case, you'll put it will have the client ID there, and it will go to the MQTT transmit queue, and it will be routed directly to the client that way.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ram Ramathan. Your line is open.
Yes, the question that I have is in terms of MQTT client scalability and also the MQ telemetry daemon or the server service, do we have any performance reports?
Well, the performance reports that are out there now are for version 7.01. There has not been a performance report released with 7.1. I think that once they get, once they have or finish with the current testing, and there will be new performance reports out there. But right now, what's published on the website is for 7.01.
Okay, but how many number of clients can MQ server can handle?
Well, it can handle up to 100,000 is what we have listed in the documentation. Now, it probably depends on other factors as well, as that could be scaled, and you can also implement a huge network based on routing those clients into the daemon devices or even bridges, so that you could expand it, you know, exponentially beyond that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
We have no further questions over the phone.
Thank you, Jackie. Valerie, we do have one question in the group chat of the webcast. This is from Amit. Is there an IBM-supported MQTT client on Android devices?
Yes, there is, and this is going to be, I think, covered in the Red Book publication that I talked about coming out. I know that there's a new product purchased by IBM, which is the Worklight, which helps facilitate application design for that, but I'm pretty sure that it's going to be covered. Let me just check that really quick if I can find it. But I do know it's supported on the Android devices. Yes, it is. I just would have to let you know the specific names or details about that. And as I said, when that Red Book, I know it's included in the Red Book, which is going to be published probably around the end of the month.
Okay. Thank you, Valerie. And another question from the chat is, this is from Aravind. Do they still use MQTT in Facebook Messenger?
To my knowledge, they do. No, I don't. I'm not privy to all of you know, what Facebook does or does not do, but I know that they had announced that they were using MQTT. That was a public announcement. And that's not web, that's not to say they're using IBM's WebSphere MQ with that, but that they are using the MQTT open source protocol.
Okay, thanks, Valerie. And then there's one more question from Tim. Are there any guidelines on when you would use MQ clients versus MQTT clients?
Well, the whole major advantage of MQTT is it allows you to put it on a very small device, and I don't think we got into it too much on this presentation, but it can even be in something as small as your credit card or ID card where it has the little chip in there that's transmitting where you just swipe it. So those are how small the MQTT devices can be, something that's a small embedded chip, and it might not be connected to a network. So that's when you would want to use something that uses the MQTT protocol. An MQTT client, if you had a more full, you know, if you had a Windows Server or another some other client running on a regular operating system, you would probably just use a standard MQ client. The MQTT protocol is really to allow you to let all these smart devices and what are called, you know, edge devices, which are we're going to see more and more increasingly in everyday products that you buy are going to have these things embedded in them. But you can also use the Java or C clients if you have a small, don't have much network reliability, or you don't have much operating system for, capacity, then you could use the smaller, lightweight MQTT footprint.
Okay, thanks, Valerie. Hopefully that answers the question. Amir has another question. Would MQTT be available on ZOS MQ 7.01?
No, I don't believe so. At this point, it's available on Linux, 64-bit, available on AIX, and available on Windows. That is the where we've incorporated the telemetry service for MQ. I don't know that as far as any future releases. The only future release I know is 7.5 because that's already been announced. Otherwise, I don't know of any. I don't know of any plans for ZOS at this point in time. You know, you could always go to back into your ZOS by routing it to a Unix or Linux key manager, which there, then you use standard MQ communications from that Linux key manager to your ZOS back end.
Okay, thank you, Valerie. There do not appear to be any more questions. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We certainly hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Valerie, for presenting today.
Okay, thank you.